Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. How are you doing this Thursday, the 17th day of February, 2022? Sadly, it was 1 year ago today that Rush Limbaugh passed away. I am wearing my Rush Limbaugh Radio's Greatest of All Times t-shirt this morning in honor of Rush Limbaugh, who I listened to almost daily. I missed very few shows for since 1988, since he first went national. I was listening to his show quite regularly, and I miss him every day from noon to 3 Eastern time since his passing a year ago. So I just want to remember Rush today. It was an interesting article that came out shortly after Rush passed by Joel Rosenberg, who was one of the researchers for the Rush Limbaugh program for a long time before he became a successful novelist. And Joel is strongly Christian man, and he wrote an article shortly after Rush's passing, talking about how he believed that during the last year of his life, that Rush, who was always a theist and always somewhat biblical in his worldview, but in the final years of his life, he actually did repent of his sins and put his faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of his sins. And either that or he just finally started talking about it, because in that last year, he made multiple comments about his faith on his radio show, where he had before, you know, avoided that. And so that's an interesting thing, but I trust that Joel Rosenberg was right in his assessment, and that Rush had indeed put his trust in Jesus Christ, and we'll see him in heaven. So I'm looking forward to that. But it's been as I look at the political events of the last few days, how much I'd love to be able to turn on Rush and hear his take on things. Because he did always have a very unique take on the political events from a conservative point of view, but he had an insight into things that most people don't have. And honestly, and I said this for years, Rush was the most astute political analyst of the late 20th and early 21st centuries. He nailed things. He understood better than most what was going on, and he worked tirelessly to promote conservative ideals and defeat the left. And so we miss him. And so let's remember Rush today on the one-year anniversary of his passing. Let's pray for his wife, Catherine. Let's pray for his former staff and co-workers who, it's interesting. Going back and reading some of the stuff that's been written about him, nobody left his show. People got work on the Rush Limbaugh show, and they stuck with it. He didn't have a high turnover in his staff. Probably his most famous staff member, Bo Snerdly, James Golden is his real name. Rush always called him Bo Snerdly on the air. Bo, he left for a while, but then he came back. that's probably his most famous staff member. But I just remember, listening to Rush, and he cannot be replaced. There's some good talk shows out there. There's some people I listen to on a regular basis. But nobody will ever replace Rush. So let's do remember him and remember his family and friends in our prayers. And let's move on. This is Squirrel Chatter. Squirrel Chatter is a podcast that's dedicated to the public reading of scriptures and to my thoughts on various topics. And Squirrel Chatter is a member of the Christian Podcast Community, so I encourage you to head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. You can check out all of our great curated podcasts, and I encourage you to do that. There's good stuff over there to listen to, and new podcasts are being added all the time. There are enough podcasts over there that I don't even try to keep up with them all. But they all have to meet a doctrinal standard and adhere to a standard of ethics and practice. So it's good stuff. You'll find something worth listening to that'll entertain you and inform you and enlighten you and edify you and educate you and several other pronouns starting with E. So I encourage you to head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com and find something worth listening to. It's also Thursday. That means it's Theology Thursday. And today we're going to be looking at Chapter 3, Paragraph 4 of the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith as we continue to work paragraph by paragraph through the 1689. All right, well, let's begin then with our prayer of confession. Oh, I guess I should say what our scriptures are today. We're going to be reading Leviticus 1 through 3, Psalm 27, and Hebrews 2. That's our scripture readings for today, as we are reading through the entire Bible this year in the Legacy Standard Bible. And a quick programming note. District basketball tournaments start today, and the only sure thing is the time of the first game, because the schedule for the rest of the weekend is dependent on whether you win or lose a game. So there is the possibility that I may have a very early bus trip tomorrow morning. So I'm going to pre-record tomorrow's Squirrel Chatter. As soon as we're done here today, I will record tomorrow's Bible reading and upload and schedule that, because I don't know what my schedule is going to be in the morning. So if I'm going to be, I'll probably just let the pre-recorded one run, even if I'm not doing an early morning bus run, because I am doing a bus run this afternoon and don't know when I'm going to get home tonight. And I may just sleep in tomorrow if I don't have to be at the bus barn early. So we'll just take it from there, but I just wanted to let you know that tomorrow's show will be pre-recorded, and because of that, there will not be a live stream on Facebook and Twitter. So it'll just be the audio download, and you can find Squirrel Chatter on all of the major podcasters, or podcatchers, on Apple Podcast and Google Podcast and Spotify and, TuneIn and Audible and wherever else. I'm on all the major platforms. And so I encourage you to find Squirrel Chatter and go ahead and subscribe to the audio download, because that way you won't miss an episode of this scintillating radio show. All right. Let's get into our Bible reading after our prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now a prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Leviticus chapter 1. Then Yahweh called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, When any man from among you brings an offering near to Yahweh, you shall bring your offering of animals from the herd of the flock. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall bring it near, a male without blemish. He shall bring it near to the doorway of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before Yahweh. And he shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf. Then he shall slaughter the young bull before Yahweh. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring near the blood and splash the blood around on the altar that is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And he shall then skin the burnt offering and cut it into its pieces. And the sons of Aaron and the priests shall put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces, the head, and the suet over the wood, which is on the fire that is on the altar. Its entrails, however, and its legs he shall wash with water. And the priest shall offer up in smoke all of it on the altar for a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to Yahweh. But if his offering is from the flock, of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt offering, he shall bring near a male without blemish, and he shall slaughter it on the side of the altar northward before Yahweh. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall splash its blood around on the altar. He shall then cut it into its pieces with its head and its suet, and the priests shall arrange them on the wood which is on the fire that is on the altar. The entrails, however, and the legs he shall wash with water. And the priest shall bring all of it near and offer it up in smoke on the altar. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to Yahweh. But if his offering to Yahweh is a burnt offering of birds, then he shall bring near his offering from the turtle doves or from young pigeons, and the priest shall bring it near to the altar and wring its neck, and offer it up in smoke on the altar, and its blood is to be drained out on the side of the altar. He shall also take away its crop with its feathers and cast it beside the altar eastward to the place of the ashes. Then he shall tear it by its wings, but he shall not separate it. And the priest shall offer it up in smoke on the altar, on the wood which is on the altar, a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to Yahweh. Chapter 2. Now when anyone brings near a grain offering as an offering to Yahweh, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it, and he shall then bring it to Aaron's sons the priests, and he shall take from it his handful of fine flour and its oil with all of its frankincense, and the priest shall offer it up in smoke as a memorial portion on the altar, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to Yahweh. And the remainder of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons, a thing most holy of the offerings to Yahweh by fire. Now when you bring near an offering of a grain offering baked in an oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil or unleavened wafers spread with oil. And if your offering is a grain offering made on the griddle, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. You shall break it into bits and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. Now if your offering is a grain offering made in a pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And you will bring in the grain offering which is made of these things to Yahweh, and it shall be brought near to the priest, and he shall bring it to the altar. The priest then shall raise up from the grain offering its memorial portion, and he shall offer it up in smoke on the altar as an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to Yahweh. And the remainder of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons, a thing most holy of the offerings to Yahweh by fire. No grain offering which you bring near to Yahweh shall be made with leaven, for you shall not offer up in smoke any leaven or any honey as an offering by fire to Yahweh. As an offering of first fruits you shall bring them near to Yahweh, but they shall not ascend for a soothing aroma on the altar. Every grain offering of yours, moreover, you shall season with salt, so that the salt of the covenant of your God shall not be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall bring salt. Also, if you bring near a grain offering of early ripened things to Yahweh, you shall bring near fresh heads of grain roasted in the fire, grits of new growth, for the grain offering of your early ripened things. You shall then put oil on it and put frankincense on it. It is a grain offering. And the priest shall offer up in smoke its memorial portion, part of its grits and its oil with all its frankincense, as an offering by fire to Yahweh. Chapter 3. Now if his offering is a sacrifice of peace offerings, if he is going to bring near one from the herd, whether male or female, he shall bring it near without blemish before Yahweh. Then he shall lay his hand on the head of the offering, and slaughter it at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall splash the blood around on the altar. From the sacrifice of the peace offering, he shall bring an offering by fire near to Yahweh, the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loin, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove from the kidneys. Then Aaron's son shall offer it up in smoke on the altar on the burnt offering, which is on the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to Yahweh. But if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering to Yahweh is from the flock, he shall bring it near, male or female, without blemish. If he is going to bring near a lamb for his offering, he shall bring it near before Yahweh, and he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and slaughter it before the tent of meeting. And Aaron's son shall splash its blood around on the altar. And from the sacrifice of peace offerings, he shall bring near as an offering by fire to Yahweh its fat, the entire fat tail, which he shall remove close to the backbone, and the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove from with the kidneys. Then the priest shall offer it up in smoke on the altar as food, an offering by fire to Yahweh. Moreover, if his offering is a goat, then he shall bring it near before Yahweh, and he shall lay his hand on its head and slaughter it before the tent of meeting. And the sons of Aaron shall splash its blood around on the altar. And from it he shall bring near his offering as an offering by fire to Yahweh, the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. And the priest shall offer them up in smoke on the altar as food, an offering by fire for a soothing aroma. All fat is Yahweh's. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your places of habitation. You shall not eat any fat or any blood. Psalm 27. Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the strong defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumble and fell. Though a host encamped against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in this I trust. One thing I have asked from Yahweh that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in his temple. For in the day of calamity he will conceal me in his shelter. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with loud shouts of joy. I will sing, and I will sing praises to Yahweh. Hear, O Yahweh, when I call upon my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. On your behalf my heart says, seek my face. Your face, O Yahweh, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your slave away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me and do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but Yahweh will take me up. Instruct me in your ways, O Yahweh, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not give me over to the desires of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living. Hope in Yahweh. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Hope in Yahweh. Hebrews chapter 2. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proved unalterable, and every trespass and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That salvation, first spoken by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking. But one has testified somewhere, saying, What is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and have appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not see all things subjected to him. But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will recount your names to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who, through fear of death, were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he suffered, he was able to come to help those who are tempted. This is the word of the Lord. Now the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who hast safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance, to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Alleluia.
button. There we go. This is Montana. I have some personal messages for our brothers and sisters in the resistance behind enemy lines in occupied Canada. The trees are full of birds. The trees are full of birds. The lizard is green. The lizard is green. The day starts early. The day starts early. It is cold in Cleveland. It is cold in Cleveland. Rush was right. Rush was right. The coffee is strong. The coffee is strong. And now back to our show. It is Theology Thursday. We're looking at chapter 3, paragraph 4 of the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. Chapter 3 is all about God's decrees that God has in his own infinite mercy and by the counsel of his own perfect will decreed everything whatsoever comes to pass. He is the almighty and sovereign God. And the paragraph 3 talks about the elect men and angels. The elect men are the elect angels are those angels that never sinned. The scripture seems to strongly indicate in the book of Revelation that when Satan fell, he took one third of the angels with him. Those were the fallen angels. The elect angels are the ones who did not fall. They did not fall by God's will because they were the elect angels. And the elect men are the men, the people, men and women, mankind, whom God has decreed that he would save. And now in the paragraph 4, it says, these angels and men, talking about the elect, thus predestined and foreordained, are particularly and unchangeably designed, and their numbers so certain and definite that it cannot be either increased or diminished. So this is talking about the surety of election. Election and salvation is not left up to chance by God. God has chosen whom he will save. Just as God chose which angels would not fall, he has chosen which among fallen man he will save. And it says that number, the people that are predestined and foreordained, the elect, are particularly and unchangeably designed, meaning that it is particular in that God has chosen particular individuals. He hasn't just set a number. He has chosen the individual people who will make up that number, the particular people, and unchangeably designed. So if God has decreed that Ralph will be among the elect, Ralph will be among the elect. It is unchangeable. It is unalterable. He particularly chooses Ralph, and Ralph will be among the elect. It says, and their number is certain and definite and cannot be increased or decreased. I've said before that Jesus Christ is a perfect Savior. At the cross, he saved perfectly everyone he intended to save, past, present, and future. He knew them by name. They were predestined before the foundation of the world to be saved. They are the elect, and they are, that number is not going to change. There's not going to be one more or one less person saved other than those that were decreed to be saved. That number is unalterable. He died for his sheep. This is not popular in many circles. There are a lot of people who want to think that salvation is up to the people. You know, it's up to us to choose God. God has chosen whom he will save, and those whom he have chosen will come to faith in him. And it's unalterable, it's unchanging. It is by God's decree. He decreed it, and he will cause it to come to pass. Remember, we've seen earlier looking through this chapter, God didn't look down through the corridor of time and learn who was going to respond in faith and then elect them. The people throughout time who respond with faith responded with faith because God elected them. And then the Holy Spirit moved in their hearts to bring them to faith because God has decreed the result, but he's also decreed the means. And so it's all the outworking of God's plan. And that number cannot be increased or diminished. So there is not someone that God has chosen to elect who is going to decide at the last moment, no, I don't want to be saved. Nor is there anyone who is not elect who will be able to be saved. Now, the verses that the writers of the 1689 give us for this are 2 Timothy 2:19, where we read, "Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to depart from wickedness." The Lord knows those who are his. But from before the foundation of the world, predetermined, predestined, elected by God, particular individuals for salvation. The Lord knows those who are his. And he knows us intimately and personally. And it's unchangeable. His knowledge is perfect. You know, God cannot learn anything, nor can God ever be wrong. Because of that, because he knows exactly whom he is going to save throughout all of time, everyone who is saved is known to God throughout all of time. And this is not because of any merit in us. This is because of his will and his purposes and for his glory. The other verse they're giving us is John 13:18, where Jesus says, "I do not speak about all of you. I know the ones I have chosen. But that scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me." This is, of course, talking about Judas betraying him, because Judas was not one of the elect. Even though he was an apostle and spent the time with Jesus, his purpose in being there was to betray Christ. That also was predetermined, because God has decreed whatsoever comes to pass. So he says, "I know the ones I have chosen." There's no doubt about that. So that's the 1689. Chapter 3, paragraph 4. It's fairly simple and straightforward, and it's certainly biblical. God knows whom he has chosen, and those whom he has chosen will be saved, and those whom he has not chosen will not be counted among the righteous. This is a sobering thought. Now, a lot of people wring their hands over this, and how do I know if I'm saved? How do I know if I'm saved? It's simple. If you trust by faith alone in Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins, you're saved. That's what the scripture tells us. The only people who trust by faith alone in Christ alone are those whom he has chosen. So that is why the gospel is a command. It's not an invitation. It's a command to be obeyed or disobeyed. And the command is, repent of your sin and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe. That is the command. If you have repented and you do believe, you are saved. You are obedient. You are among the elect. You don't need to, well, I believe, but what if I'm not really elect? That's not how it works. If you believe, you're elect. If you don't believe, you're not. Actually, that's not true. If you die without believing, you're not. If you don't believe right now, but you're still alive, you may be among those God has predestined for salvation. You just haven't reached the point where he has determined when he will save you. Excuse me. Yeah, so that's because God has determined the who. God has also determined the what, meaning the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel. And he's determined the when. Whenever there's a point in life when every elect individual comes to faith. And there's a prior to that point, they are not believing. They are unbelieving elect. But by virtue of the fact that they have been predestined by God for salvation, there will come a point in time in which they do believe. And so we urge you, if you have not reached that point, repent and believe the gospel. And we say that trusting that the Holy Spirit will indeed draw to himself those who are his. And so repent and believe the gospel. Turn from your wickedness, turn from your sin, turn to Christ, and put your faith in him. All right, well, that's the 1689, chapter 3, paragraph 4. And I'm just enjoying going through the 1689 with you. I hope you're finding it edifying and informative. And if you ever want to reach out to me, you can reach me at squirrelchatter@protonmail.com. That is the best way to get a hold of me. That is the most reliable way to get a hold of me. Drop me an email. I read every email I get, including the profanity-laced hate mails, which I haven't received in a while. Maybe they just determined I was boring because I just didn't respond. So, I don't miss those, but I do look forward to your emails. So please, if you have any comments or questions, go ahead and drop me an email at squirrelchatter@protonmail.com. And that's the show for today. And just a reminder, tomorrow is going to be pre-recorded because I may have an early bus trip. And because of the possibility of an early bus trip, I'm just going to go ahead and pre-record tomorrow's Bible reading. And so I will see you again live, Lord willing, on Monday. In the meantime, do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. And whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. I'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.